money borrowed in TID 5 that won't become city assets. In future years, as we collect those increments, that will become revenue, and that revenue won't have a corresponding expenditure, and so it will fall back into the unrestricted net position and begin to replenish itself over time. So that's how that will become rectified. But it's important for us to understand you cannot have a deficit in your unrestricted net position that you don't expect to recover, because then you're in a sorry state. Statement of government activities, you have governmental and business type, so there's two sets of columns on that page 27. There's a governmental column and a business type column. The business type are the two utilities. Everything else, including the internal service fund, is included in the governmental activities. In this, there's a comparative report from one year to the next, which appears on page 17. This is in a section of the report called the Management's Discussion and Analysis of the Statement. I'd encourage you to read that. On page 17 is a side-by-side comparison of the current year activity to the prior year. Revenues were up by $2 million, but expenditures were up by nearly $8 million. That $8 million is essentially the grant to Ballpark Commons on our TID 5 project, and you see that expenditure on that page 17 when you compare it to 2017. There's some graphs there where you can see, and again on the conservation and development, you see that $8 million spike in that particular column. On the revenue side, our revenues were pretty much the same from one year to the next. The next two pages show you the utilities, and on page 19 you see the red bar, that's the depreciation on the contributed assets. So on the water utility, we're pretty close. On the sewer side, you see we're really negative. And sewer rates are going to have to rise over time. And we're not talking about pennies. We're talking about dollars. That's going to be a pretty sizable increase as it occurs.
Paul?
Yes.
AGT?
Yes.
Red bar, blue bar is 2018,
red is 2017. Yes. Under the legend at the bottom, off to the right, the left side, you see 2018's got a blue box and 2017's got a red box. And that's true for the bottom as well as the top.
Definitely.
I apologize. I didn't understand that's what you're asking about. Then I wanted to spend a few minutes of time to talk to you, and I should be able to finish this in a few minutes, but I wanted to give you a long-term look at what's been happening over 10 years to the city. The first group of slides is talking about a government-wide basis. So this is not a budgetary basis. This is a government-wide basis. Taxes coming into the city for general fund, library, and capital, okay, those three groups of funds together, very flat. And you'll recall there was a long-term period of time where the city did not really raise its total levy. What it did is it transferred debt service, which is up here, you know, slowly over time, it's decreased the debt service levy, and that additional levy went into this group of funds. The TID tax levy, here's where TID 2 was still open, TID 2 closed, and now we see it's very flat. As we move forward in TID 5, this will begin to move up. So that's your total property tax levy in the three major components. Operating funds, debt service fund declining, and your TID funds, which is while the TIDs are open, this is using to pay project costs, primarily money borrowed to pay those project costs. Other forms of revenue. They are not in the CAFR. But if you go to the tables, the numbers are in the CAFR. Probably might not be a good idea if we put them in the CAFR because it'd be easier to read.
But it's on your email,
right?
Yep.
Pardon? Yep. It is on the email, so you will have this in your inbox. This top piece here is intergovernmental revenues. You'll note that in 2009, intergovernment revenues were just less than $1.5 million. They haven't changed 10 years later. They spiked up. This was a spike on the, if you recall, we had a spike one year on the exempt computer aids. DOR recognized their mistake and they took it back. This was a one-time spike, and I don't even remember what that related to. I should look it up, but I don't remember what it related to. But it went away 1 year. I don't recall. Then you have this other line that started up here. This is investment earnings. So this is back before the recession began and how we were making $1.5 million in our investment income. Now you come back here, interest rates plummet, and the city's not generating any real investment income on our fund balance reserves. Now it's started to change over, and our investment income is rising. This other piece here is other taxes, and the real increase in this most recent time frame was the opening of a second hotel in the city and the additional hotel taxes that are coming in. A significant portion of these are no longer available to the general fund by the state's, if you call them legislature, took those revenues away from us. So I'm not making the rules, I'm just trying to point out to you what's going on.
Maybe that chart should go to the state.
They don't. They don't care. That's why somebody's unemployed. That's why people
Yes.
I think that other one. So the Hampton Inn hotel taxes are going up. Is that comparable to the other hotel too, or is the other hotel still flat?
The other hotel has been very flat over time. It has risen 3 or 4 or 5% a year as their revenues are going up, but their total revenues and their total tax coming to us is not rising that much. What's happening here is we had a hotel that didn't exist. In the first year or two of its existence, it came online and it had a partial year, and then we got to a full year, and then as they got a little more well-known in the community and used, that revenue has spiked up.
So what it's pointing to is where it came online more or less.
Yes. And it'll flatten out. Now, TID 5 is talking about building another hotel, and it will be similar size to the Hampton Inn. That will raise this up. That will increase this spike back up. And there's been, as you recall, there was a project proposal that you looked at for another hotel on 30. I get this wrong, and I get corrected every word. 31st and Rawson. But that would be another hotel that could potentially spike this up. And the city gets to keep 30% of that revenue or whatever we collected in an old historical year. If we add two more hotels, our revenues will spike up such that we'll get that 30% of revenue back to the general fund, and that will begin to give us maybe an extra $100,000. But where we're looking for revenue, every $100,000 really helps.
Here's one audience member that has an issue with that project, so I asked him if he was listening to that extra revenue from...
Am I talking loud enough?
This gentleman is the only one up front there that knows how to talk on a mic.
So then I've got a report here on all other forms of revenues. And I apologize, I probably put too many lines on here. This green line that goes across the middle, that's the operating grants. So grants haven't changed in the last 10 years. If you look at this red line, which is the one that started down here, just above about 700,000 and is now at just short of 3.5 million, those are solid waste. That's our charges for public services. The initial piece here was when we added the solid waste fee out here in 2011. Then we had ambulance fees begin to spike up. And then it's changed, pretty much stayed the same. This is the increase due to the $500,000 for engineering inspection fees. And that will stay up for the next year or two because of the amount of development activity. When that development activity comes down, that inspection activity will go away and this line will begin to spike back or move in the opposite direction. The heavy purple line are grants that are coming in. This grant was when the Milwaukee County transferred either St. Martin's Road to the city or North Cape Road, and then this was the other road. So that's why these things spiked up. In the future, as we get the 27th Street project from Zilber, they will donate a road to us. We have a number of residential developments that are occurring. They will contribute streets to the city. That will keep this up. Ballpark Commons will contribute some assets to us, and that will keep it up. So these grants will stay up for a couple of years, especially while there's development activity occurring.
But that's a capital asset that we're gaining. That's not a burden.
Well, Well, it's considered a revenue. The asset when it's donated to us is a grant or a revenue in the year it's donated. Then after that, it becomes an asset to the city that we have to maintain, which in essence becomes a drain on our operating costs. We have to plow those streets. We have to maintain those streets. We have to resurface those streets. So now we're going to switch back to the governmental. This is the budgetary basis. And I only have two slides here for you. The first one is looking at our expenditures. Public safety costs in the last 10 years have risen not quite 20%. So down here to this slide. Most of that, we saw this decline as we were able to transfer and take advantage of Act 10 and some of its benefits. That's why these costs came down. Now that we've been able to accomplish that, you see a general increase in those employee benefits as well as those employee wages. And I would expect the trend of this line to continue if we make no changes in our activities. General government, really flat. This is interest cost to the city. As we've been paying off our debt, those costs have been going down, and the cost of new debt has stayed down because we've been able to borrow at very friendly rates. This spike here, that's the grant in TID 5, so that's an economic development activity, $8 million grant. And then the public works costs, this is also, up 49% in the last 10 years. Some of that is the supplies cost. Some of that is the cost of what we're spending on just operating that department. So public works costs have been rising very fast over the last 10 years. And these trends with very flat revenues is going to make it very hard to budget into the future. And speaking of revenues, that's the next slide. So the heavy blue line, that's your property tax. And you say, well, property taxes haven't risen. The general fund property tax has risen. We went from something less than $16 million to $17.5 million over those 10 years. So that's this increase in property tax. We've shifted money from the debt service levy in here. We've shifted some money from some of the capital project funds into this fund. But our ability to raise total taxes is very limited. So this is going to be a challenge. On this red line that goes across the top, that's intergovernmental revenues. We pointed out to you earlier, the state is not sharing any additional revenue to the city. So we can't expect a whole lot of new revenue there. This green line is public charges for services. That's our ambulance fees, which have started to rise, as well as building inspection fees. So as development activity spikes up, we'll see this spike, but there will also be a cost that we have to incur for building inspection. The question is, will this fee rise as fast as those other expenses, or will the building inspection fee arrive early and your expenditures might transition from year to year because the building doesn't take place in the same year that the building permit is pulled? So, let's see if I have anything else. Again, I want to refer you to the tables in the back of the report, just by way of help so that you understand what's there. Take a look at page 127 in your CAFR document. This is a look at the total assessed value of the city. On the right-hand side, you'll see that the city's assessed value right before the Great Recession was $3.9 million, and then property values plunged. $3.9 billion, thank you, with a B as in boy. Then the property values plunged down to $3.4 million by the time we got to 2013. In the most recent year, as of 1/1/18, that's over a year ago, our property values rose to $4 billion. But flip forward to the very next page. And on the very next page, you see now how much of that is sitting in TIDs. So the $4 billion, which is on the leftmost column, gets reduced by $98 million, which is in various TIDs, so that the tax value for purposes of calculating your tax rate is only $3.9 billion. And you can see how those TIDs have moved over time, by TID. That was the reason why I put this in here. So when your discussions, if you're interested in what's going on with the TIDs, this is a great page to refer to. If you want to see the growth in the city, the next table, page 129, talks about the new construction, residential, and commercial, if you will. Tax rates by various taxing authorities in terms of dollars is on 130. Those are assessed rates. The largest employers, or largest taxpayers being largest properties are on page 131. NML was our largest taxpayer in 2009 and continues to be our largest property taxpayer, but notice the assessed value has gone down from 10 years ago.
That was going to be my question on page 4 when it talked about the TID 3 saw an increment decline as a result of challenged assessments. Was that particular one?
This was one of those taxpayers who were able to receive a reduction because they challenged their assessment.
So then, since we're on that same page where it talks about the threat to the city, and I know you talked about we have some funds set aside for in case other ones, but are we anticipating more of these that we put money aside for? Because it's a threat.
I believe that is a subject matter for tomorrow night's closed session. Well, clearly the dark store process, which is we've talked about that several times at this group, that is part of this process, is that people want their properties assessed on a basis other than the way other properties are assessed, and they're winning on some of those challenges, and that's causing the tax value of those properties to decline, shifting tax burden from one taxpayer to another taxpayer, because our tax levy just gets spread over the taxable value. Apartments are included in commercial. Single family and duplexes are in the residential.
And I had a question on that, so that was one of my other points. So on page 3, you talk about the currently 75.1% property values with residential, and that has, it actually was 72.6. So we are moving away from our 70-30. How will the residential commercial, I think you're saying it would be commercial in that. The
70-30 calculation takes the portion of what's classified as commercial property by the state for multifamily homes and moves it back to the residential. This report on page 129 takes the state classification of properties. And under that classification, the multifamily homes that are more than 3 units per building are considered commercial. The 1, 2, and 3 families, I believe, are in the residential category here. The 70-30 takes all of those multifamily properties and moves it back to residential. We have not done that calculation in a while.
So that could change from actually going up 75 residential. That could even go up higher with these new apartment companies.
No, because it would take and... Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, it probably could.
So we need to even work even harder on getting those assets that are non-residential to keep that 70-30 balance, because it looks like we've gone up almost 3 points.
Right. And as you get more challenges on the dark store project, that will also take out of the commercial property without impacting the residential.
That's why I objected when my predecessor jumped up and down over at 28%.
I would just point out very quickly on page 132, you look at the tax levy by various funds, so you see the capital funds all grouped together, but notice that the debt service levy declined over the last 10 years while the total levy did not. So we've been able to use debt service levy by shifting it over to the operating funds and keep our total levy down. We won't be able to do that much longer. There is a list of the, I would point out on page 135, the city has now signed some municipal revenue obligations. This is a new form of debt for the city. This debt is only payable if the tax increment occurs in the districts. So the districts close and you haven't paid that debt, it goes away. But this is, in fact, new demands on tax levy that will occur in the future. And then the last one that I find very interesting that I think people would look at is on page 139. These are the largest employers in the city and how they have changed over the last 10 years. So NML is still the largest employer, and their employment has moved up from 1,100 employees in 2009 to nearly 1,900 employees today. But a lot of the large employers in 2009 are no longer the largest employers, and there's a new group. So I just point those out to you in case you have interest in it.
On the page next to that, where it talks about the population, what do you think the population loss, although it's been kind of small, 36,046 to 35,779, what do you think if we continue to see a loss in it, what
that's
affects
also correction.
That?
That's also correction.
Is it, that's, okay, I was going to ask that as well.
That's finished with my presentation. If there were more questions, I'd be able to answer those, but if not, I'd turn it back to the chair.
I
heard.
Well, most of the things Paul covered really well when we were going through, and so I was able to pull off some tabs, but and a lot of the things that I have are maybe things that are just things he's pointed out that just kind of letting you know where the detail, the written details of his presentation are. But I did have a couple on page 113, and we talked about this at the Finance Committee, that in the future, for some of the tables that are mentioned, table 1 provides, table 2 provides, and that I'd ask Paul if he would include some page numbers so I wouldn't have to...
How about
754? So I'd ask Paul about including some page numbers because I was trying to find yours. It's page 13. There's just a couple.
13?
Yeah. No, just page 13.
So within the transmittal letter and the management's discussion of an analysis, we refer to tables and or schedules, but don't tell you what page they're on. And we could do a better job in the preparation of those reports to give you the reference page numbers to make it easier for you to find that. And I appreciate that, Paul.
And then down on the bottom of there was the whole paragraph about both the government fund balance sheet and the government fund statements and the revenue expenditures and changes, and that whole paragraph about reconciliation to facilitate this comparison between the government funds and the government activities. So the fund balance changes and the fund statements of revenue expenditures. And I wanted to see more detail on sort of the breakdowns of that.
That's available to you. So I'll point you to page 30 in the report. That's the governmental report that you're familiar with, which is the budgetary page. If you look at page 30, that shows that the government, on a budgetary basis, generated a $13.8 million positive change in fund balance. But the government-wide generated a $3.2 million deficit. So if you look at page 31, the major differences between those two numbers are identified for you. So you can see what they change for. The same thing holds true for fund balance. On that same Schedule D, we say the governmental funds had a $37.2 million fund balance, but in Exhibit A, we say the fund balance was $134.4 million. If you go to Exhibit E as in Edward on page 31, there's an explanation, I'm sorry, Schedule C1 on page 29, there's an explanation of that $37 million to the $134 million. And all of those differences are described for you there. So if you have an interest in it, it's in this report.
So then on page 16, this was something that you've talked about with the, you can talk more about this on page 19, the possible need for this policy review for making up the water and sewer and different funds. So is that something you'll be talking to engineering to?
Well, I raised that issue back, again, I refer to the September 2018 report where we asked Ehlers to look at our sewer rates. And you will recall that we came back to Common Council and we said, if we're going to spend this, if we're going to do this project for replacing the lift station with a gravity flow, we are going to look at some utility sewer rate increases. The water utility rates are controlled by the Public Service Commission, and the Public Service Commission will not allow you to include in your rates the recovery of new mains unless the utility spends the money for them. So if we put them in by impact fees or special assessments, or they're donated by developers, they're not part of the utility rate base. That's not true for the sewer fund, but this council and our previous councils has chosen to keep the sewer rates as low as possible, and so we've done that, but we don't then create the resources necessary to replace these assets when they are due for replacement.
I guess the two pages that stood out to me that had the most information I found helpful were on page 21 and 22. And it covers the TIF and the nearly $2 million increase in development and impact fees collected, which I think is really important for everybody to really understand all of those impact fees we're collecting and the need to use some of those, especially when it comes to the park issues. There is also impact fees that are not just part. But then on the general fund, it talks about was $7.3 million, which is $6.8 million, which was unassigned. That represents 27% of the general fund. So the policies on that other page, it talks about the 25 to 30% policy, which is calls the attention that it was about 2.2 on average over. So it seems like we're doing, you know, a really good job of keeping our fund balances and actually over a little bit. And then the one that I didn't catch before that we did was the about $500,000 on that Cameron truck purchase, which was related to this DNR obligation for the Rhine Creek Interceptor. Pointing that out to the council is just another one of those costs for that project.
The camera is not for the Rhine Creek Interceptor. That is for the general sewer across the city. That was a truck that we previously had. It had reached the end of its useful life and needed to be replaced. It's not, very little of it is used at the Rhine Creek Interceptor.
For that, I thought that was part of the DNR agreement when we approved the interceptor that they had to keep that.
Okay, so when we, the city, took out the clean water fund,
yes,
we were required to create and maintain an equipment replacement fund. So that equipment needed in the sewer fund for all purposes in the city would have some resources available to it. The purchase of the camera truck exhausted that fund's balance.
Right.
And so we'll just continue to replace it as time goes along and permits from resources that the sewer fund generates.
You made it much more clear than I did, but it's still related to that DNR obligation as well. So thank you.
The truck existed prior to RCI. It's replacing the truck that existed prior to RCI.
And as part of that requirement from that loan for the RCI. That was the part that... Okay. And... I had the detail on this one. And the last thing I just wanted to point out for the council was on page 103. This talks about the revenues and transfers and actual budgeted costs. So the original budget on the quarry reimbursement costs were $44,600. The actual payment out was $35,500. What wasn't billed out was $9,100. That was typically would have been paid out, but because our equipment broke, we didn't have that. Now, that is money that I wish we would have considered when we were talking about the survey costs, because the survey will also benefit both the city and the quarry. And since they were not billed $9,000, taxpayers, I felt, shouldn't have had to put out the $6,000 for those survey costs. And now this comes on the land purchase issue that we're going to take up tomorrow night, which... I'm just calling that to your attention. So that was all the...